Hello everyone, this is your host, Cobra Number One, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network, exposing racism, white supremacy for exactly what it is, so that you and your loved ones can navigate this nasty, stinking, wretched, disgusting system. The purpose of this website and podcast is to eliminate all confusion in regards to racism and what it is, so that those who are classified as black are no longer confused. We find this show to be necessary because before a problem can be solved, it has to be identified and understood. And too many black people do not understand racism. Please visit us at CobrasInAction.org, a website dedicated to countering racism and replacing it with a system of justice. Also, visit us at PeopleOfTheSunPublishing.com. And please purchase our first publication, Racism is White Supremacy, the Pocket Guide to Counter Racism. Please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and SoundCloud. We're always publishing content to all of our social media sites, so please follow. This is our fifth podcast in the series titled Understanding Racism, White Supremacy, in which we aim to show how racism is present 24 hours, 7 days a week, 7 days a week in all non-white people's lives. Today, I will be speaking on sports in the system of racism, white supremacy. Most black males at some point in their lives partake in athletic activities with the dream of being put on display in front of millions of white people and earning a few pennies for many years of labor. Most don't make it. This reeks of desperation, and in the system of racism, white supremacy, black people are the most desperate. So, we are going to take a quick station break, and when we come back, we're going to get into how racism rears its ugly head in the area of human activity known as sports. You are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. Be right back.
Thank you. Cause me more than niggas, they even mean more than the children. Preferring beasts over blacks like this, probably cause they wanna have sex with it. White people are full of shit. They really make me sick. Gorillas mean more than niggas.
Welcome back to the show. I am your host, Cobra Number One, R.G. Reed, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. All right, so we're talking about sports in the system of racism, white supremacy. Black men in sports. This is a topic that I've been looking forward to speaking on for a long period of time, and now I finally get to do it. Black men in sports. First, let's talk about ESPN. What are countless numbers of black men doing every single day when they get off work? Hell, maybe even at work. What are they doing? They're watching ESPN. They're watching Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith. Getting all emotionally charged with what these men are saying. Talking about some damn sports, about how fast somebody can run, about how high somebody can jump, as if we don't have more important things to be doing. This is what black men are doing. ESPN attracts a lot of black men. Now, you know, they have a lot of pretty women on ESPN. That's probably part of it. But I have never seen two or more men get so roused up over analysis done by some sports commentators as black men do. And I'm seeing this all the time in the barbershops, right? What are we doing? We're wasting time. What about on Sundays after church? We go to church, we get our little message of passiveness. Oh yes, you know, be God fearing and be good little niggers and do as you're told, obey the law, and don't disturb white people. That's essentially the message. Don't disturb white people. Now, what's going on after church, after we get that message of weakness, that message of just being passive? Black men, we go, we sit our asses on the couch, defeated, looking to hide from our embarrassment of being nothing in this society, not taking responsibility and standing up to these oppressors. We sit on our couch and we use all of our emotional energy, all of our frustration, and we direct it at the opposing team. That's sick. Black men getting emotionally charged over a damn play on Sunday night football, screaming, yelling at the television. And for what? Over a ball game. Hell, you should be getting that emotionally charged when black boys are being shot down in the street like rabid dogs. I'm willing to bet that same emotion isn't there when some shit like Trayvon Martin happens. Black men being unjustly shot. Hardly not a peep from most black men. However, Sunday night football comes around, Monday night football, Thursday night football. Black men yelling at the TV. Oh, no, man, you can't do that. No, no, F that. That's a bad play, man. No, they cheating. They cheat. Spitting. Throwing stuff at the television. New television he bought with a credit card. Throwing glasses at it, throwing drinks at it. Getting pissed off over a ball game. That at the end of the day means nothing. What stake do you have in the team? Nothing, fool. But yet you sitting on the couch yelling and carrying on as if it really means something to you. They win or lose, as if that's going to increase your salary at your job. As if that's going to prevent you from getting your ass shot down like a dog in the street if there's some type of miscommunication between you and some white cracker cop. Get out of here with that mess, man. It's sickening. When I go to the barbershop, when your host goes to the barbershop, what is he seeing? Now they say the barbershop is our Congress. It's our hub for political discussion. Yeah, okay, we're talking politics for like 2 minutes. And then someone mentions, well, so-and-so is the fastest running back. And then someone else chimes in, no. He ain't this. He ain't shit. Such and such is the best. Nah, man, but they ain't got no wide receivers. They ain't got no team. They ain't going nowhere. And then this goes on and on and on. And then the conversation, it escalates. And then the conversation gets belligerent because someone says something about someone else's team, quote unquote, someone else's team. Mind you, I mentioned no black person doesn't really have any stake in any team. But yeah, it's your team. We are arguing with each other in the barbershops, the place that's supposed to be the hub for black political activity, especially black male political activity. And we're sitting and we're scrapping, arguing, fighting with each other over ball games. This is sick. But this is the system of racism, white supremacy. I guess when you've gotten your ass whooped so many times, you find ways to feel empowered and feel like you're in authority any way you can. Even using something as trivial as ball games as a way of doing so. And that's what we're doing. What about the little children, the little black children, the little Negro children of America, as white people see them? I told you before, this is a foul system. And we're not going to be sitting up here pretending that it's not. That's how white people see you, as niggas. Get over it. Now, what about manhood? How is manhood interpreted by the little black children of America, the little nigger children of America? Well, first off, you need to be having a lot of sex. You need to have a lot of women. This is how you become a man. And central to that is sports, particularly football. Go on any high school campus and look at the so-called swag that high school males are walking with on the campus, especially when they have their Letterman jackets on. Find out the motive. I'm telling you, I played sports all throughout high school. The motivation for most guys playing sports is that they're looking to get in between the sheets with girls. That's it. That's it. Wearing the Letterman jacket, being on the football team, being on the basketball team, this is a way that boys are getting in between girls' legs. And we get this shit from white people. Now, what is a real man? A real man doesn't need props to get what he wants. He just goes about in a direct way and tries to take it. If you like that girl over there, you don't come up, you don't need no scheme to trick her. A real man lets her know, hey, I like you. Can I take you out? You don't need no schemes. You don't need no gimmicks. But we put so much into the idea of a black child being a sport prospect. And it makes males attractive to females. But this is wrong. Why are you attracted to someone just because they can run fast? Oh, because they made a point in the ball game. Who cares? A real man takes care of business. A real man works to end his oppression. A real man recognizes that women are equal. A real man does not have to look down on women. This is what white people do. And like I always say, what they do, we do. Because we don't know shit. We don't have our own culture. We don't have nothing. We're just copying them. See, white people, white men are scary. They use all types of gimmicks. You know, they have to show what kind of car they have to get the woman. You know, they have to show how successful they are. They have to have on a Letterman jacket to attract females. They need something other than themselves because they are lacking and they have to compensate. Why are you doing it, fool? Because you don't know no better. We don't have an understanding as to what a man is. And Nellie Fuller says that in the system of racism, white supremacy, you don't qualify to be a man. Nor a woman. Yes, I'm talking to you now, women, ladies. He says that you do not qualify as a black person. You don't qualify to be a woman. You know why he says that? Because men and women do not go to other men and women for what they need asking. This is what children do. And in the system of racism, white supremacy, black people are asking white people for everything. So I say this, a real man works to overturn that arrangement. So we need to stop teaching the little Negro children of America, black boys, black girls, but especially black boys, we need to teach them what is it really to be a man. And we need to let them know it has nothing to do with what Letterman jacket you got, how many touchdowns you scored, or how many touchdowns you threw in the big football game. It doesn't matter if you're recruited or not to be on this play in front of millions of whites to, you know, for some college somewhere in which you're not getting paid. That's not anything remotely close to what a man is. And it's not about how much sex you get. That's disgusting. But yes, black men, continuing on with the legacy of slavery, the black slave buck. Yeah, the slave buck is now the athlete going around putting himself in anything that opens. It's disgusting. And it's indicative of a people that don't have too much self-respect for themselves. Now, let's get into the psyche of white people. What are they thinking of? No. Let me say this. What is an athlete? What is a black athlete to white people? What are whites thinking? Yeah, let's get into the psyche of whites. What are they thinking when you're out there performing? When you're out there entertaining them? You're in your proper place when you're entertaining them, because they're paying their dollars to see you perform for them. Jump, nigga. Run, nigga. Hit, nigga. Yeah, this fun. Yeah. Because all you've ever been good for is to entertain white people. To be put on display so you can move. Yeah, look how he moves. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. You are here to either work for them and or perform for them. Even with the slaves, every Saturday, what did they have them doing? They had them, the slave masters, they had them out there dancing, drinking, you know, jumping up and down. Yeehaw! Entertaining crackers. Yes. It's the same thing now. You get black athletes, you get niggas on ABC, NBC, ESPN, millions and millions of white people gather around their television with their beers, and they're watching these racehorses on TV performing in games. They're looking at you nothing as nothing more but just a talent. See, now this is why white people don't like when black athletes step out of their lane and start talking about some shit they don't want to hear. Black person, oh yeah, well, you know we need to do something about police brutality, and it's unfair, and you know, Black Lives Matter. White person, shut up, nigger. Get out on the field and score more touchdowns. We don't want to hear your political views. They don't think of you as a person. You are the entertainment. You are the talent. They don't have any respect for you. Look at how LeBron James was treated. This man brought millions and millions of dollars to the city of Cleveland. He decides to do something for himself, what's best for his family, and leave. And what do these white, racist, disgusting people do? They get out, they start burning his jerseys, calling the man all types of nigger, destroying property. Hell, you even had one of these disgusting racists write a book on LeBron James. And what he and what he quote unquote did to the city of Cleveland. I think it's called something, it's some kind of degrading title, like the whore of Anchorage or some shit like that. It's talking about LeBron. The whole book is about LeBron James. He's on the cover, and the man is basically called a white man, calling LeBron James, victim of racism, white supremacy, a traitor for leaving Cleveland. Then when LeBron comes back, this same individual apologizes. Now, if LeBron had self-respect, he would have told him what he could do with that apology. I don't know if he did or not. Maybe he did. I don't know. But yeah, they don't want to hear you speak up. You were there to perform. That's why you had these players coming out in solidarity, you know, begging, oh, please, you know, we have to get along, and, you know, police violence, police brutality, we need to stop. White people don't want to hear that. They know that there's police, but they want that because they want to be safe. And see, when they look at you as a black person, they see criminal, they see nigra, they see animal, they do not see a human. I'm sick and tired of athletes coming, oh, whoa. Well, you know, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony, they're at their award show holding hands, you know, saying, oh, you know, police brutality needs to stop and we need to cut it out and blah. White people already know this. They don't care. Dude, they don't care. You all need to disassociate yourself from performing for white people. And you need to learn how to organize and work to counter the system. You made enough money, okay? Stop asking white people to end their mistreatment, or just don't say anything at all, because you look stupid. They don't care. We've been here 500 plus years. This problem can be solved in like a week. If white people really wanted to stop mistreating us, they don't. They do not. So stop asking. It's embarrassing. As a black person, it's embarrassing to see that shit. Stop it. What's the relationship between owners and their athletes? Because again, athletes are nothing but niggers. Niggers don't have opinions. This is why white people, they don't want to hear shit from you about anything important. You just play. Shut up, nigger. Shoot the basketball. That's it. What's the relationship of the owners in the system of racism, white supremacy? How much do the owners make? Let's look at the athlete now. Hold on, wait. Let's look at the athlete. Now, athletes are performing their whole entire lives not always for white people, but they're always performing. They're always practicing. This starts at the little league level. So you start them early. You start banging their bodies up early. Then you get them to middle school. They're banging their bodies up even more. Then you get them to high school. They're banging their bodies up even more. Now, for those that make it, they go on to college, many on a scholarship. This is where they begin to be put on display for white people. Millions of white people every Saturday morning. They're waking up, mouth slobbing, beer in their hand, yelling, screaming at these racehorses, do my bidding, win the game. and black people on this play not making a cent, not making a cent. They tell them they're getting a free education, but they ain't getting no education. They're always practicing, working out, sweating, running, jumping, abusing their bodies to perform for white people. And for the ones that make it to the NFL, the very, very few, the very, very few that make it to the NBA, all those years of abuse to their bodies, most of them ain't making more than $1 million a year. Okay? We have to remember that. And for the select few that make over $1 million a year, long term, especially in football, are they really getting paid fairly? I say no. They are not. They are not getting paid fairly. You spent years and years of over 15 years of labor abusing your body for a possibility of getting paid to perform in front of these crackers. And then when you get in front of them, look at the pay, look at the compensation for the athletes as opposed to the owners. The owners are making hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And the owners, if the franchise is successful, the owners are billionaires off of the team. And then, you know, you may have one showcase athlete on the team, like a Michael Jordan or the highest paid athlete. So a Michael Jordan, a LeBron James, Russell Wilson. All right. That's making an outrageous amount of money. But you got to look at the salaries of the supporting cast. Look at the salaries of the bench. Yeah, hell, they're making more than you because the market dictates that they can. But when you look at everything that's put into the work that they have to do, all the practice, all the travel, and then, like I said, the years and years to even be considered being put on someone's team, which means playing in the Little League, developing your skills, honing your skills, playing at the middle school level, playing at the high school level. This is all work. You ain't getting compensated for that. No, you are not. So when you add all that up, are they really being paid what they're worth? I say, no, they are not. Now look at what the owners are making. Like I said, the successful franchises, these men are billionaires, and they're not doing nothing but sitting back in their boxes, sitting back in their luxury box suites, talking shit. Talking about who they're going to cut, which nigger they're going to drop, which nigger they're going to pick up for the next season. See, the athlete to the owner is a racehorse. Oh yeah, you know, when the athlete is performing, when the athlete is producing on the field, the owner's real nice to him. Just like the racehorse. The owner of racehorses, oh yeah, he's kissing them, rubbing them. Good boy, good horsey, yeah. Same thing with the athletes. Pay him, you know, if it's a top priority athlete, the owner's paying him a lot of money. Hell, he may even let the nigger come to his house and have dinner with his family. Oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that considerable? And you sitting around here thinking it's some honor because you get to eat at the big house with the crocker. But guess what? When that racehorse can't perform no more, when that black athlete gets hurt, when that black athlete gets in a little trouble, which is what happens all the time in the system of racism, white supremacy, When that horse, that racehorse can't run no more, they take that racehorse out back. They get that double barrel shotgun and they blow his head off. They drop that black athlete like a bad habit. And you know it's true. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to finish up. Be right back. You're listening to The Barbershop here on Cobra Radio and the Black Talk Radio Network.com. Be right back.
Local, national, global system, behavioral system of thought, speech, action, and emotional response, consciously and or subconsciously determined, practiced by people who classify themselves as white, in all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, for the ultimate purpose of maintaining white genetic survival and preventing white genetic annihilation on planet Earth, a planet upon which the overwhelming majority of people are classified as non-white by the minority of people who classify themselves as white. And the people who are classified as non-white are genetically dominant in terms of skin coloration compared to the genetic recessive white skin people. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the show. I am your host, Cobra Number One, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. We are discussing sports and the system of racism, white supremacy. I got about 15 more minutes, so let's finish up. Next up, what I want to talk about next is sports being really, well, sports and entertainment being really the only ways in which a black person can do, quote unquote, really well in the system of racism, white supremacy, financially, that is. Sports and sports and entertainment. This is the only way black people can make a lot of money in the system of racism, white supremacy. Let's look at it. Let's look at the financially rewarding occupations. So we have law, we have accounting, we have entrepreneurship, we have the medical field, becoming a doctor, they make a lot of money. Investment banking, we have investment banking. Hold. So let's just stop right there. Investment banking, the medical field, becoming a doctor, becoming an entrepreneur. All right. Becoming a lawyer, becoming, let's say, a corporate lawyer. Someone that is involved in mergers and acquisitions and international business law, stuff like that. All right, now, what do you need? Not so much with being an entrepreneur, but with all those other occupations, what do you need? Well, first off, you have to go to school. Have you looked at how much a legal education costs? Now you sit and you talk to Jamal and you say, hey Jamal, what do you want to do? And Jamal says, I really don't care. I need to make some money. And I want to make a lot of money. And Jamal is correct because Jamal realizes that throughout the course of his lifetime, he's going to need a lot of money in a capitalist system. He's going to need a lot of money in the system of racism, white supremacy. Now, so Jamal has correctly stated, he needs something that pays a lot. So you say, well, Jamal, get a law degree. And Jamal looks at you like you crazy. With what money is Jamal gonna get his law degree? You see, these are economic barriers put in place to keep you out. Like I said, Jamal can barely feed himself. A law degree costs $70,000, $100,000. Where is he going to get that money from? Oh, well, go to go to an accounting school. With what money? Go to a medical school. With what money? It takes money to get this education. Black people are paid the lowest. How is he going to pay for it? You see what I'm saying? And then there are cultural barriers. I took the LSAT. This is the law school test, because you have to test out to get accepted into these schools. I took the law school test, the LSAT, and they were asking questions about foreign policy, about stocks. Now, what the hell does Jamal know about stocks? What does Jamal know about foreign policy? Nothing. Is it because he's dumb? No, it's not because he's dumb. It's because Jamal is living in a system of racism, white supremacy. A system that says niggas are not supposed to know about foreign policy. You don't need to know nothing about no foreign policy. You just wake up, show your ass to work on time, get there at 9 o'clock, clock in, clock out at 5, go home, wake up the next day and do it all over again. While you're on the job, you shut up, don't say nothing, do as you're told, and we may let you keep your employment. Oh, and then on Sunday, be a good little negra, go to church, and get your message of passivity and passiveness and your message of do nothingness. And then show back up Monday morning to work, ready to do it all over again for the new work week. This is the system of racism, white supremacy. You don't need to know nothing about high finance, foreign policy, stocks. It's not in Jamal's upbringing. He's trying to figure out where his next meal is going to come from. These are cultural barriers placed on these tests purposely, because the tests are culturally biased. This is done on purpose to weed you out. We're talking about the marginalization of blacks here. How sports is the only thing, sports and entertainment are the only vehicles really for black people to make a lot of money in the system of racism, white supremacy. Oh yeah, yeah, you're good for entertaining. Get out there and shake your ass, nigga. Get out there and jump, nigga. Here, yeah, we'll throw some pennies at you. There you go. Pick that up and go home. Yeah, you good for that. But how many opportunities are in sports? Not even 1% of black people that aspire to play sports at the highest levels make it. It's not a valid opportunity, folks. It's bullshit. And you know it. So since it's bullshit, what am I saying? How about we start boycotting performing for whites? Let's end it. Let's be done with performing for these people. Let's be done with putting ourselves on display for these people. It is a waste of time. And for black people, it doesn't do anything. Instead of being so concerned with performing for whites, entertaining these crackers, let's do something constructive for ourselves. Now, it works both ways, because on the one hand, I'm saying let's stop performing for whites, but let's also stop, as consumers, let's stop supporting the performing for whites from black people. Let's stop supporting this crap. So instead of going home after church, after you get your message of take your ass whooping and be a good nigga, and going home and sitting on your couch hiding from your responsibilities from countering racism, white supremacy, because you're embarrassed or you're scared, and sitting there and using all your energy and all of your emotion and your passion at some football team, instead of doing that, how about getting out exercising? Let's increase the longevity of your life. Put the remote control down. You don't need to listen to Stephen A. Smith talk about some shit that really means nothing. It's all hot air anyway. He ain't saying nothing. You don't need to listen to the refined Skip Bayless run his mouth. He's not saying nothing of interest for you at all. He's not talking about the supporting a black business. He's not talking about the political conditions black people are in. He's not talking about getting some of these racist law enforcement officials out of these towns and out of these counties. He's not saying nothing like that. So he's a waste of time. Get off that couch, start exercising. How about dating? Millions of black men sitting in front of a television set, their lady, their wife, their girlfriend is upstairs miserable because you're not showing her and giving her the attention she deserves. Because you sitting around, you watching some ball game that really means nothing, has no impact on you whatsoever. Why don't you take her out, show her a good time, take her to the park? It doesn't have to be anything substantial. It doesn't have to be anything financially depressing. Hell, we live in a system of racism, white supremacy. I know that. You probably ain't got the money to do so. However, that's no excuse to just neglect someone, neglect your loved one, neglect your girlfriend. Take her out. Show her a good time, even if it's just like a stroll in the park on a nice day. Take your kids out. Do some studying. Learn about Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. Learn your history. Read up on Dr. John Henry Clark. Read up on Dr. Van Sertima. Read Nellie Fuller. Learn your history. Get an understanding of why white people act the way they do from Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. Read up on your history, Dr. John Henry Clark. Read up on developing a code of behavior to counter racism, white supremacy with Nellie Fuller. Do some fundraising. Black men, black women need to get into the habit of soliciting funds for the purpose of developing black economies. No one's gonna do it for us. Okay? Yes, you're qualified to do this. You know, set yourself up a barbecue at your house. You know what I'm saying? Rent out a church or whatever. Invite people to come and eat. Come up with some plans as to how we can provide some jobs, provide economic opportunities for ourselves. We need to start producing things. We got to start making things, but you need money to do these things. First off, you got to train. Black people don't know how to do anything, really, collectively. That's why we're not making nothing. We don't hardly make anything because of our 500, you know, because of our history of slavery. But okay, so now we know what's going on. White people are not going to do it for us. All right. If you don't understand that, I don't know what is wrong with you. We got to do it ourselves to the extent that we can. And I'm not seeing no evidence that we're even really trying. I am not seeing no evidence that we are really trying. We have to provide for ourselves. We have to provide our own jobs. We have to start our own businesses. But in order to do so, that takes capital. So we need to be looking at fundraising projects that are aimed at providing massive employment for black people. So if you're listening to this, you have one of two roles: that of fundraiser or that of the person looking to do the funding. Yes, you need to be going out of your way to fund black projects. I know you don't have a lot of money. We're trying to fix that. You need to be looking for ways in which you, $5 a month is a great start. Whatever you can afford. Stop that bullshit putting your money in the church. Well, they ain't doing shit for you. Put your money in something constructive. Stop being stupid. That's stupid, putting your money in some church. you're putting money in an institution that is afraid. First, it's afraid to discuss racism, white supremacy. It's beholden to racism, white supremacy, because these churches are getting funding from the government, so they have to remain apolitical. They are not going to do anything for you. That's why they are working in concert within the system. Every Sunday you go to the church and they talk about, yes, be passive, be nice, don't cause trouble, do as you're told, you'll get your reward in heaven, blah, 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 blah. Miss me with all that bullshit. Stop putting your money in the church. Stop being a stupid fool. Put your money where it's going to bring back some kind of a constructive return. Stop being so damn scary. It's sickening. All right. But anyway, folks, that's the end of the show. I hope you all enjoyed it and found it constructive. Please visit www.cobrasinaction.org and peopleofthesunpublishing.com. And please purchase our first publication, Racism is White Supremacy. Also, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, and Instagram. Just go to the social media section at the bottom of our website on www.cobrasinaction.org and click on the buttons. Last but not least, folks, please donate. This is a very time-intensive, financial-intensive endeavor, but articulating racism so that we can counter it is the most important thing any of us can do. So please support this effort and donate. Remember, catch the show every Wednesday and Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. here on the Black Talk Radio Network, and archives of the show are available on www.cobrasinaction.org. This is RG Reed signing off. Until next time, peace. Yeah.